The Point. Hello, it's Mike Robb. Welcome to The Point, where all parts of pop culture come together. We've got more with Eddie Izzard as he takes on the role of Long John Silver in Treasure Island for Sci-Fi. Of course, there's more on the savior of Fringe. We talked to Anna Torv and John Noble about that. And in the wake of Avengers Mania, so much superhero movie news. Let's get to The Point right now.
This is The Point, The Point Radio, get The Point Radio.
This weekend, Sci-Fi premieres a one-night-only movie event, a new adaptation of Robert Louis Stevenson's Treasure Island, starring Eddie Izzard in the lead role. Needless to say, portraying Long John Silver had its physical challenges for him.
I was asked if I wanted to do it. I think it was Sky that came to me first. Actually, it was through another production company working with Sky, and they said, do you want to do it? And I said, well, I'd like to do it, but I'll only do it if the script has teeth and is gritty, because I do feel the story has been portrayed in a somewhat lighter fashion over the years and got watered down. So I said, it's got to be harder. It's got to be harder than Pirates of the Caribbean, which is fun, but sort of fun and a bit flotsam and jetsam. I wanted something with teeth. So that was me coming in. And we went to the script. Stuart Harcourt, in the end, came up with the final version of the script that we did, which had the teeth in it. Working on the crutch, I must say, is tricky. I didn't actually have my foot strapped up in the back, but the green screen took it out, but I never used my right foot. It never actually touched the ground in any scene. So even if they said, oh, you're shooting you for the waist up, I just never put it down. I just wanted to be in there. And it's very hard to use just one crutch. Normally, you'd use two crutches, and you'd have a crossbar, but I just used one. So the toughness of doing that added into the character. But I have run 43 marathons. 3 years ago, I ran 43 marathons, 51 days. And so Steve Barron saw me do that and thought, well, this guy can play Long John Silver because of the determination.
And how about that shaved head?
Shaving the head was the big dramatic departure, because we were playing around. We were just looking for it. I didn't have any set ideas on how it should be. We obviously knew there was going to be a lot of crutch work, which is really important in how he moves, and we worked with movement people on that. But the shaving the head sort of defines it. I've been trying to do a role where I could shave my head for some time. And if you ever do choose to shave your head, people out there, it's all about the skull shape. You've got to have a good skull. Some people have an unfortunate skull that doesn't quite work. And you don't know that until you get down there. So I knew this, and I've literally for 8 years I've been saying to makeup artists, could you do a bald wig on me at some point during some other production? And I just want to see what it looks like when I have no hair. I don't know if it works. Anyway, Steve Barron came in to me with one of the people that he works with. He does imaginations of different design ideas, and he'd done a mock-up of me with no hair in a Long John Silver look. And I immediately said, yes, would you think of doing this? And I said, yes, immediately, because I've been trying to do this for so long. So we went down to a very short buzz cut to just check out the skull shape. And then we said, I thought, no, this is going to work. So I cut all my hair. I finally got to Dublin as well. And it seems my skull works. I don't know how this is just genetic luck, but I was very happy with my skull shape. So that changed everything. And made it interesting. The accent that I use is a London accent. Now, may not resonate for Americans, but Long John Silver, if you listen to him, he actually has a West Country accent. He's always seen as West Country, which is Bristol, which is to the west of England. And it's just much more ooh-ah, Jim Ladd, and all that West Country accent that's like this. But can be seen as a comedy accent in the UK. In America, probably not so much. I decided to move him to London. I had this idea of, why not make him more London, which is much more about, there's a lot of villains in London, and London was huge at that time. It's the 1700s. It became a city of a million people, which the last city before that of a million people was Rome. So if you can imagine that, there was Rome, everything collapsed after Rome, and then it builds all the way back up. And then in the 1700s, early 1800s, London becomes the size of what Rome was. So it was a really pumping city, and out of that a lot of villainy was coming. So we had this look. I could throw that on because I had no hair. The makeup, the tattoos, that came from the makeup designer, who did a brilliant job. wonderful punk edge that was pushed forward by Sky, which we liked. And then Steve had designs on me. Steve Barron, the director, had designs on Crutch. And learning to use that was very tricky, actually. And I did my back in, and I set up an assault course in Steve Barron's actual flat so I could come up and downstairs so I could get to use it and practice. But in the end, I got very comfortable with that crutch, which is now sitting at home here in L.A., and I will use it in Treasure Island 2 as well because I know how to do it. It's quite tricky to use, but I got very comfortable on it. I saw it as part of me.
As you know, a lot of Eddie's work references, well, the things that we all love, Doctor Who, Star Trek, and more. So we had to ask, are you one of us?
I am a big science fiction fan. I'm a big imagination fan, which actually ties in with sci-fi. That it's the place of the imagination. Everything from Harry Potter, particularly the end film. I haven't actually read the books. I'm a dyslexic person, so I sort of avoid books. I did read Isaac Asimov, actually. A couple of his books before, but there's so many books out there which I haven't read because I'm just such a slow reader. But I'm just, at the moment, I'm going through Netflix, Star Trek Next Generation. So I'm a fan of the future. I do have a big vision. As I said, I'm a transvestite. You just have to work out how you can get transgender and knit it into society. So I do have vision. This thing that George Bush Sr. said, he had a problem with the vision thing. I don't have a problem with the vision thing. I've had to have one because I'm trying to carve a place in myself in the future. And so I like fantasy stories, science fiction stories, because within that, hopefully there is a truth. There is a certain future out there that could well knit up with. I mean, Game of Thrones is interesting. I've just started watching that. Because that's like from before, but also in the past, we do see our present and our future. Humans keep behaving the same. So there are lots of great Matrix. I was a big fan of Matrix, particularly the first one, the second two, sort of, I got a bit lost in. But those stories that are gritty and now and edgy and have human sensibilities, you take it to some other place, I love living through those. And it gets you out of the... I think for a lot of people, it gets them out of their normal lives, which might be not that exciting. And into this place of crazy fantasy, what would you do now? The bizarre thing with my life now is it's actually got to quite an interesting point where I am filming in Puerto Rico and Dublin doing pirate movies. So I think my life has almost become like a sci-fi film in a way, but one that I'm controlling and it's okay. So I'm very happy with where I am at the moment. But I am a fan of sci-fi.
And a Treasure Island 2?
Yep, we're already talking about Treasure Island 2. It's a dangerous thing to do a follow-up to a classic, and you can fall flat on your face. But we would like to do one, and I think Sky would like to do one, so we will see how that progresses. I think I do believe that... was a TV series that actually only happened in Australia, but that was about... John Silver and his continuing exploits. So I think it does actually have legs. It only has one leg. But anyway, I think the story has legs and John Silver has one leg. But yes, we would like to do another one.
Get your world premiere of Treasure Island, a one-night-only movie event, this Saturday coming up, 7 to 11 Eastern Time, only on Sci-Fi. Time to look at what's going on in pop culture. Capitalizing on the momentum of Avengers Mania, that other studio that handles Marvel properties, 20th Century Fox, is pushing ahead with their X-Men properties, Wolverine 2, set to step before cameras in August, like we talked about. And the next X-Men First Class film should begin shooting in January of next year. They're also talking very strongly about another Marvel property, that being New Mutants. And the official announcement for that would more than likely come pretty close to Comic-Con. Well, it appears that Scarlett Johansson will not be in the third Iron Man movie. She is pushing strongly a Black Widow movie, and of course, with Avengers Mania in full swing, that could certainly be a possibility. In recent interviews, Johansson said she sees the property to be a Jason Bourne-like espionage thriller, and hopes that Marvel and the studios will pick up on this. As we've told you repeatedly, May is decision time, especially on the big three networks. And NBC's not afraid to step up with a couple decisions that include the cancellation of Best Friends Forever. Two new episodes remain. No idea when they're going to air those. Right now they're going to stick in a repeat of Betty White's Off Their Rockers in that slot at 8:30 on Wednesday for the time being. And the third season finale of Community has been moved up a week to May 17th to air during the May sweeps, which actually could be a good sign for the future of that series. They've also added another Community episode to make it a double episode airing. Here's how it works on May 17th. Community at 8:30, Rock season finale at 8:30. Back-to-back Community episodes at 9 and 9:30, with the 9:30 episode being the season finale as well. You've heard us talk to Jahiel White about the premiere of Total Blackout on Sci-Fi, and the first episode did tremendous on that network. It averaged some 747,000 viewers in the coveted 25 to 54 age group, making it the network's most watched reality series premiere in that demo. It also delivered a total of 1.33 million total viewers, and of those 18 to 49, there were nearly 700,000 of those. All good news for Total Blackout. You'll hear Sam Raimi's name attached to the reboot of Poltergeist, but not as a director. He's in charge of MGM getting the project on track to help bring Steven Spielberg's masterpiece back to the big screen and looking for a new director for it as well. Raimi very involved in his other remake of The Evil Dead, which will be released in theaters next year. With all the other Fox projects getting some attention in the midst of Avengers Mania, what about Daredevil? As you know, David Slade was brought on board to get the project going. He, of course, coming from 30 Days of Night and Eclipse. He's been doing a lot of other projects. He directed an episode of Breaking Bad. He did the pilot for NBC's Awake. But nothing's been done for Daredevil so far. However, it looks like Fox is moving things along a little bit. There's now a new writer attached. His name is David James Kelly. Originally, of course, the script was done by Brad Caleb Kane. You obviously have to have three names to work on the project. Kane, of course, was a showrunner and a writer for Fringe.
The Point Radio. Here's what's cool.
A couple of reminders and a beautiful piece of art all on the list of the five things we think you should check out when you head to the comic stores this week. At the top of the list, well, from the I Told You So box, it's Aquaman. If you've not delved into this DC New 52 title, this is your chance to do so. Issue 8 is out this week. Sure, it's outselling just about every Marvel comic, but it's also a really good book as well. And you can easily pick up those first seven in a couple of different ways as well if you decide to go back and check those out. But this is a great jumping on point. Art of Amanda Connor. We told you about this a few weeks ago. It was delayed. Now it's finally out. A beautiful hardcover collection by one of the most talented people and one of our best friends, too, from the comics industry. And expensively priced, too, by IDW at just under 30 bucks. Also from IDW this week, first of four of a miniseries dedicated to Popeye. Classic character, interesting take. Check it out this week from IDW. And from Marvel, another reminder. If you've not been reading Daredevil, well, you should. Mark Waid's doing some incredible work there. There are 11 issues into what's been going on, so it's easy to catch up. This plus the season one Daredevil hardcover last week got me interested in the character again. And if you want to go back to the early, less spoiled days of Matt Murdock and company, well, there's an essential Daredevil trade paperback this week that contains all those early issues. A new edition of that, bargain price too from Marvel, at just under 20 bucks. Shop around, check out what else is in the comic stores in your area. Of course, you can find those stores with the Comic Book Locator service, toll free 1-888-COMIC-BOOK, or keep it right in your pocket with an app now that's available for the iPhone and the iTunes App Store. When Fringe returns to the Fox schedule sometime in the 2012-2013 TV season, it'll be for 13 episodes, which will more than likely wind up the series. We talked to showrunners and producers Jeff Finkner and J.H. Wyman about what we might be able to expect in the last few episodes.
It's not going to be devoid of tension, but there's an element that's going to sort of, I don't know, there's an element that's going to make its way clear that you will understand, that will dimensionalize the show further, and you will go, oh. So there's definitely something that's, we're always trying to recontextualize. To sort of, you know, say, oh my gosh, it's a new chapter. This is how I'm going to view the show now. I'm not looking at it the same way any longer. So we can promise that.
For series stars Anna Torv and John Noble, the recent focus on the alternate universe in this past season gave each of them a chance to play characters similar to themselves, but then again, just a little bit different, as Anna explained.
It was always and still is always like the things that they do that's this, like the crime scenes are hard, like those things that they both do in it pretty much, like they're pretty much the same thing and written the same way and trying to go, gosh, what does one think and what does, you know, the other think? They're the tough ones, but the other bits are...
And when Olivia was impersonating... No, Bolivia was impersonating Olivia. Do you remember that? That was amazing. There was a little bit in her performance that if you were watching closely, you said, that's not Olivia.
Well, and I know.
And occasionally Walter would see it, then he would look at it.
But I didn't want to... That was because we didn't want to make the other people seem stupid for, like, not picking up on it. But at the same time...
It was still there, love.
At the same time,
good.
It's like you want to be, you know, you should... It's the only chance you're going to get to...
Catch Fringe Friday nights on Fox and get more at Fox.com. The Point. That's a wrap for right now. We're back in a couple of days, of course, but don't miss the wave of Avengers Mania right with us all week long at The Point Radio, 24 hours a day of pop culture updates and everything you need to get involved in. You can listen free, too, on any mobile device. And with TuneIn Radio, you can take us absolutely anywhere right now at GetThePointRadio.com. Falcon 10 Media produces this podcast twice every week, and we'll be back on websites like ComicMix.com and MichaelDavisWorld.com. Plenty to talk about these days. You can do it at both those sites or write as directed. Listen to Get The Point Radio. Follow us on Twitter at The Point Radio and hit us up on Facebook, too, under, believe it or not, The Point Radio. Have a great week. We'll see you as we kick off the Avengers weekend and Free Comic Book Weekend, too. Right here in a few days. Get the-